Do you feel like you're trapped in a season of uncertainty or suffering? You know, the most freeing thing that you can ever have is perspective. Welcome to Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee. You know, a godly perspective frees you from the painful present. And that's what we learned today from the Apostle Paul, who from a prison cell in Rome wrote, "I want you to know, brethren, that the things which have happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel." Paul saw the bigger picture. We're studying the book of Acts, beginning in chapter 26 today, and we're so glad for your company on the Bible bus. And you know, people all over the world are suffering today for the sake of the gospel, but many have such joy in what God is doing through them and in them that puts it all into perspective. We're glad to welcome Greg Harris, Through the Bible's president, to the studio today. So, Greg, you know, when I think about people suffering because of their faith in Jesus Christ, I can't help but remember the report that we recently received from our Mongolian producer and the joyful response of listeners facing persecution. So can you share more with us about that report?
Oh, I'm happy to, Steve. You know, I love it when you throw me questions like that. You know, one of the things we like to try to do during this dialogue time, this conversation that we get to have, is pull the curtain back a little and help our listeners see how God works in this ministry. And one of the great things we get to do is we get to read these reports every single month. They come in from all of the 100-plus languages. And so today we kind of want to take you through some of this report, and it included some pictures. Now, lest you be frustrated by that because we can't show them to you, if you subscribe to our newsletter or go online, you will see the pictures for yourself this month. And Steve, this ministry in Mongolia is something that you and I love to talk about. I mean, let's just rehearse the basics of this amazing thing that God is doing around this part of the world. First, there were only about 4 known Christians in 1989. The last time I was in Mongolia a few years ago, they said there are 100,000 Christians and about 700 churches. The Mongolian Bible as a whole Bible only existed since the year 2000. So basically, we're dealing with people that are baby Christians, brand new Christians.
Right. And the wonderful story of how God is using through the Bible in that world to not just help with the birth of the church, but the growth of the church, the establishment of leaders. It is just, there is nothing more exciting than seeing God move in that part of the world and using through the Bible to do it.
And yet it's not an easy place to be a Christian. Mm-hmm. And if you want to take this first letter, I think we'll get a taste of that.
Here it is. A local young Christian woman was videoed while she prayed loudly to God. And originally, the video was published to social media with the intent of mocking her. But listen to this. She called our ministry team to share. "First, I'd like to say a big thank you. Since the video was published, my unsaved husband has forbidden me to go to church. I often stay home all day, but good thing I get to listen to your program. Each lesson about God greatly encourages me. Thank you so much." What a perspective.
And Steve, even though we don't often hear persecution associated with a place like Mongolia, there is this cultural Buddhism and there is something called shamanism.
Yeah.
And when I was in the country, they told me that some of the shamans were actually targeting Christian believers and Christian families with their curses. They were literally cursing Christians for following Jesus. And so even though it's an exciting story, there's also a kind of a downside for the Christians who have to suffer for their faith. Now, here's another letter I'd like you to read, because this is a great one from a lady who came out of that background
and references
this.
In her letter. Yeah. "When I was not a Christian, one day I discovered a program about the Bible that came on at 2 p.m. It was through the Bible, by the way. I did not turn off the radio and just listened. Because of Buddhism and shaman, my faith was already determined but never satisfied. While I listened to what the Christian preached, my thoughts turned to me, my children, and our future. While I listened to the Bible program, I understood that if Jesus becomes the model of my whole life, I can later become a good model of life. In other words, I realized that I can never become a model for my children alone. So I decided to take help from Jesus for me and my children. When I accepted him as my Savior, no pastor, no good news teller, nobody was near me. Nobody told me about the good news. I just heard what Jesus had done for me. Just the green radio was with me. In other words, my missionary is my green radio. After I received him, I started to go to the church. Now I always attend church and a church cell group. I am more joyful, peaceful, and powerful in Jesus Christ, my Savior. I believe in the whole Bible book and what it says, especially John 15:5. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing.
Mm. And Steve, when we launched this project by faith a few years ago, that person, Enkma is her name.
Yeah.
We had someone just like her in mind. This is a person that had no, they didn't know who the name Jesus was. They
yes.
didn't know. It's not, in this country, you say Jesus, people at least know who you're talking about. Many of the folks in Mongolia have never even heard of this Jesus. And this Bible program, you're right, it's through the Bible. It airs at 2 p.m. and 2 a.m. You want to guess why it airs at 2 a.m.?
Why?
Because there are Mongolian speakers all around the world who want to listen on the internet at different times. And then there are people that can't sleep and they do want to listen at 2 a.m. So there's always good ministry. But I love that. I always think of Mongolia as, you know, both times on the clock. I know through the Bible's on at 2 p.m. and 2 a.m.
And just think about the joy you would have if you were on our world prayer team and you can one day meet Enkma in heaven and say, you know, I prayed for you by virtue of the Through the Bible ministry going into Mongolia. What a joy that would be.
You're always looking to plug that, and I love you for that. That's great.
Just go to ttb.org/pray.
Okay. Now, I know we don't have much more time, but one of the other people we had in mind, the groups of people when we got into broadcasting in Mongolian, was the pastor. So here's a quick letter. Atiabar, who is age 50, serves in her church. She has been listening to Wind FM for 1 year. She often listens from morning to afternoon. She testified, I listened to Through the Bible with my husband. In addition to listening to it on the air at 2 p.m., we listen to those lessons on the website. It's very easy to re-listen again. It is very awesome. I like that. I wonder how that translated.
Yeah.
And a great opportunity to listen to the programs and study the Bible. It helps us live and serve in the church. Also, Jargal, the teacher, the preacher, and that's we call him Bat Jargal, explains and teaches the Word. Because of Through the Bible, our spiritual knowledge, understanding, and faith are improving. We invite our church members to listen and study from the biblical program along with us. So we are reaching, by God's grace, church leaders as well.
That is so encouraging, Greg. Thank you so much for the update. Why don't you open us in prayer as we begin our study in Acts?
Father, thank you that you let us take the Word of God to the ends of the earth. We thank you for what you're doing in Mongolia and so many places around the world. And we pray you'll do that same work in our hearts now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now, friends, we return back to the 26th chapter of Acts. And I'm putting in today at verse 29. You will notice that Paul, giving this masterly and marvelous discourse, the proclamation of the gospel to King Agrippa. He was first interrupted by Festus, and now King Agrippa interrupted him and said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. Now you can see that Agrippa was the man that Paul was after. He wanted to win him for Christ. And now Paul, when the man says, almost thou persuadest me, Paul says, almost won't do. It's altogether or nothing. Either you accept Christ or you don't accept Christ. And friends, actually salvation is something that no theologian can probe the depths of it. But it's also simple enough for ordinary folk like most of us are to understand that either you have Christ or you don't have Christ. Either you trust Christ or you don't trust Christ. Either he's your Savior or he's not your Savior. It's one of the two. There's no such thing as middle ground. And it's not almost. It has to be altogether. And the remarkable thing is, Paul says, I wish you were like I am, but not these bonds. I wouldn't want to put this chain on you. Now, this is the man who was a proud and zealous Pharisee. And this is the man that a few years before, he would have bound Christians in chains and put them to death. Now his attitude's different. He wants them to become Christians. and have a vital and personal relationship with Jesus Christ as he has. That is, have a transaction with Christ. My friend, we need to come to grips with him. That's the thing that is important. But Paul doesn't want them to be in chains. One thing I think is clear here, a mighty transformation had taken place in Saul of Tarsus. And what's the explanation? Well, Jesus was alive. He was back from the dead. This is the thing he said at the beginning. He says, why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? There's nothing unreasonable about that. 1900 years of man's development in knowledge and in many fields makes this all the more likely even today. Actually, it's easier for you to believe in the resurrection than it was in that day. Now will you notice, verse 30, and when he had thus spoken, the king rose up, and the governor, and Bernice, and they that sat with them. And when they were gone aside, they talked between themselves, saying, this man doeth nothing worthy of death or of bonds. Then said Agrippa unto Festus, this man might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed unto Caesar. Paul's going to Rome now, which is quite obvious. And the question is, did he do right in appealing to Caesar? And as we've said, there are those that feel like Paul made a mistake. No, he didn't make a mistake. Two reasons. You're going to find out that he's going to Rome because he'd prayed to go that way and had urged others to pray. Over in the epistle to the Romans, and this was before Paul visited there, verse 10 and 11, he says, making request, if by any means, now at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift. Well, he's going to Rome. Now, you may question the fact whether he had a prosperous journey or not. I have a friend in the ministry who years ago ran a series of messages for young people, which were tremendous, by the way. And the title of the series was, the theme, Paul's Prosperous Journey to Rome. And it was a prosperous journey. I think he's in the will of God when he made that. Now, Paul is going to Rome, and we come now to the 27th chapter. Let me say a word as we enter this chapter. This might be called the fourth missionary journey of Paul that we're going to enter upon. And I'm inclined to think that's what it ought to be called. He was just as active when he went to Rome. He exercised the same latitude. He made as many contacts. He witnessed just as faithfully. Chains did not hinder him. Although he's in chains, he's the one who said that he was bound, but the gospel was not bound. And that the things that had happened to him, he told the Philippians, it happened for the furtherance of the gospel. God's in all of this, friends. The trip this time, though, is to be a little different. It's to be made at the expense of the Roman government. They're going to pay for his fare because he's a prisoner. And it's in fulfillment of this prayer that he prayed and asked the Romans to pray, that he might come to Rome. Now, when Paul appealed to Caesar, his case was, you can see, removed out of the jurisdiction of Governor Festus and King Agrippa. As King Agrippa said, he might have been set at liberty if he'd not appealed to Caesar. But we can't do anything about it now. Nothing further to do now but to send Paul to Rome. And they did this. And you have the record here in this 27th chapter. And we have an account of the voyage, and it might be called the log of the ship that we have here. And I want to tell you at this point that the 27th chapter of Acts has been described or has been considered the finest description of a sea voyage in the ancient world, the finest that's on record, and it's so regarded today. All right, now, the ship's ready to sail. Let's take off now with the Apostle Paul, and we're going to take a sea voyage to Rome. This is really a travelogue we're having in the book of Acts, and I trust you've enjoyed this travel that we're making. Now let me begin to read. And when it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners under one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus Ban. Now, here we have the beginning of the voyage, and they're going to sail to Italy. And Paul is put in charge of a centurion by the name of Julius, and he has the prisoners. And Paul probably was the only one who was a Roman citizen among the prisoners. Others were criminals. They were sent to Rome for the execution. Many of them would become gladiators, and they were fed to the wild beasts. You see, in that day, there was a constant stream of human life from all corners of the empire that was fed into the maw of this public vice there in the Colosseum in Rome. Now, what an opportunity this was for Paul. Among this class that the gospel brought the most hope, because these were hopeless men that were being taken to Rome. And you will recall that one of the things that the Lord Jesus himself said, he came to set free the prisoners. Free spiritually, delivered from their sin and delivered from their guilt. Now the centurion, as we see here, his name is Julius. And I feel that he's a very courteous pagan. Let's read on, and I think we'll find that true. Verse 2 now of Acts 27. And entering into a ship of Adramyttium, we launched, meaning to sail by the coasts of Asia, one Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, being with us. Now again here, you actually need a map to follow along in this missionary journey. This missionary journey, as you know, takes us to Rome. And I'm very sorry that I don't have a map for that. However, I would suggest that you get a Bible that has maps in the back and turn to one, and the chances are you will have this journey of Paul set before us. And if you do, you will notice that now he's going up the coast of Israel at this particular time. In other words, they didn't take a straight sailing from the seaport there and went directly over. Actually, I know that when we took a plane out of the Lod airport, that's there at Tel Aviv, we just, you know, you just start going right across the Mediterranean Sea. And for a time, while you were really out of sight of land on that trip, now you'll find that Paul here goes up to the coast. That is, the ship does, and of course Paul's on board, and you can follow it up the coast there. Now, I'm not going to spend any time with that. And we are told here in verse 3, and the next day we touched at Sidon. Now, that's a familiar place. Tyre and Sidon were up on the coast there in Syria of that day. The next day we touched at Sidon, and Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go unto his friends to refresh himself. Now notice the liberty that's granted to the Apostle Paul. I'm of the opinion that here's a Roman official that Paul reached with the gospel because of his treatment of Paul and the fact that he looked to him a great deal on the trip. Now we are told, verse 4, and when we had launched from thence, we sailed under Cyprus because the winds were contrary. Now, under Cyprus would mean that they actually came all the way down to the south. And that means that apparently they were getting some north winds. And when we had sailed over the Sea of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycia. Now, we've been over this ground before, and you will find that it's along the southern coast of Asia Minor. And they're sailing along there. Now something takes place. And there the centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing into Italy, and he put us therein. In other words, they changed ships when they got here to Myra in Lycia. And you'll find that on your map. It's a sort of a jumping off place there. And there the centurion found a ship of Alexander, that is, it had come up from northern Africa. Verse 7, and when we had sailed slowly many days, and scarce were come over against Cnidus, the wind not suffering us, we sailed under Crete over against Salmone. And you will follow on the map there the way that they sailed, and you find now that they're headed toward the island of Crete. Now let's move on here, verse 8. And hardly passing it, we came unto a place which is called the Fair Havens, nigh whereunto was the city of Lasea. Apparently, they were having difficulty sailing. The weather was certainly contrary to the sailing vessel of that day. Verse 9, and when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them. That meant it was late in the season, and winter was coming on. We find here that what is happening is that they are hoping that they'll be able to get to Rome before the storms really begin to blow. Now, you will notice here that Paul takes a moral ascendancy at this point. When the sailing was dangerous, Paul admonished them, verse 10, and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And you can understand that. After all, you'd expect the captain of the ship to know more than Paul knew about it. This is Paul under real testing here, and he certainly stands out. And here he makes this suggestion, which of course they found out later, that they should have followed it. And this reveals even, I think, something more important, the spiritual superiority of Paul. There was no uncertainty in the life of Paul, no confusion. He was what would be called a poised personality, no disintegration, no frustration. Paul knew the way he was going. This one thing I do, he could say when he got to Rome. These things, I think, are seen in the entire voyage that we are on now. Now notice verses 9 and 10. And this is a man in touch with God. Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that the voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Now, notice verse 11. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. Verse 12. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenice, and there to winter, which is an haven of Crete, and lieth toward the southwest and northwest. Now you'll notice Crete's an island that's off the coast of Asia Minor, and also off the coast of Greece. It's the largest island that is there. And you have here the events that prove Paul was right, we'll see. The old Puritan divines had a saying that you can put down here, prudence before providence. And I wish today a great many of our super-duper spiritual saints would remember that. Prudence before providence. And human prudence rather than divine revelation. But not that. What they needed here is to have divine revelation and human prudence together, both together. Now, all the way through the voyage, the captain, the soldiers, and sailors are depending on human speculation. But Paul, by the way, is not at all. Now, will you notice? Verse 13, and when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. The voyage was a guesswork to them, danger of supposition. The south wind blew softly. The difference was simply this between Paul and the captain. The captain was looking to self and to man. Paul was looking to God. Paul said later on, I believe God. Not I believe in God, but I believe God. Life's a great sea, and this certainly reveals that. And our lives are little boats. And we can either sail by human supposition, and there's a storm blowing out there just now, a bit of a gale. The tragedy, I think, in this hour is the fact of the confusion and the world chaos and the darkness. Men are still guessing. There are 1,000 human plans for building a better world, and we're witnessing the collapse of the greatest dream ever had. And that's what's happening in the world today. We need men today who know God. It was Gladstone who said, the mark of a great statesman is a man who knows the way God's going for the next 50 years. Don't seem to be many of those around today. We must leave off there. We'll continue this voyage next time. Until then, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
Well, Dr. McGee gives us a lot to ponder, like about the future. Do you believe what God has said in His Word about prophecy? Well, you can get a refresher on that topic from our book, J. Vernon McGee on Prophecy. Just give us a call at 1-800-65-BIBLE to order this resource or any other. Now, as we left Paul today, he was on his way to Rome by ship. But not everything will be smooth sailing, as we'll see tomorrow when the Bible bus pulls back around this corner. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'll be saving you a seat right here.
Jesus made it home, unto Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain.
We're so grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners, who are being used by God to take the whole Word to the whole world.